All right, so we're going to talk about preparing to be godly men. The reason why we want to do this today is realistically, you guys have nothing but potential right now. You have so much potential. If you look at Scripture, you see that Jesus took 12 guys who were probably teenagers and used them to change the face of the world. And so, I mean, this is where you guys are, right? But the but what you guys need to understand is that if for you guys to grow and mature as men, it's going to be very difficult for you. And I'll say this, I'm so thankful that I'm not growing up in this time period where you guys are. I think that you have some, I don't want to be like, oh yeah, your generation has it the hardest ever. But I do want to say that you guys have some significant hurdles in your generation. Because one of the things is the rest of our culture, American culture, is against you growing up. We really have tried to do everything we can to give you everything you could ever want or desire so that it now has built inside you this feeling that you deserve everything and that you don't have to work for it. And if you adopt that mentality, you will not grow as a man. I mean, you're naturally to mature physically, all you have to do is wait. That's all you have to do. You're gonna mature physically. You're gonna grow into maturity physically. But for you to grow in manhood and maturity, it's gonna take an effort on your part, and it's gonna have to be countercultural, because this generation is pampering you. And I get it, because you just look historically, we're coming out of a generation shift where the generation before us didn't have anything, so they tried to give everything to their children, and we're feeling the results of that. There's a U.S. senator's name is Ben Sasse, and he says that what our generation of young people is suffering from is affluenza, that we've been given too much. We're affluent, and this means you have like a lot of money. Influenza is a sickness, right? It's a sickness of having too much, and because we have too much, we expect so much more. So that's one thing I think is going to be difficult for you. And what I do want to say this is, your generation, one of the strengths of your generation is that you dream big, right? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make this. I'm going to build that. And that's awesome. But the problem is, if you don't actually put together a plan, you'll never reach your dreams. You're not going to. You're not going to just fall into it. And especially if you talk about being a godly man, you don't just stumble into godly maturity. This is something that you need to take ownership of, and you need to really press yourself into. All right, so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to look in First Corinthians chapter 16. I'm just going to read two verses, and this is going to form the outline of what we talk about. You guys should memorize these two verses, Romans 16, 13, and 14, that say this: be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. I'll read it again. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Let me pray for us and we'll get going. Gracious Lord, we love you and praise you. I pray that you'll help us right now to focus on what we can learn from your word and how we can apply it in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we've got be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. These are five commands from God that the Apostle Paul is using to challenge us. So these five commands are going to form our outline for what we're going to say. First is be watchful. It's really cool. This comes from a word that means to stay awake. Wake up. And I think there's a positive and a negative aspect that we need to look at. The negative aspect is that we need to be watchful because sin is crouching at the door. You need to be watchful. You need to watch out for sin and for temptation, for ambushes being laid by the enemy to get you to fall, to get you to sin. And again, this is where I'm so thankful I didn't grow up in your generation, specifically when it comes to internet pornography. When I was growing up, one of the ways that God used to keep me away from pornography when I was a kid, when I was growing up, was that the only thing we knew about as far as pornography was magazines. And so shame kept me from having to ask somebody at a store to give me that magazine from the top shelf with the naked women in it. And so it was So my battle against lust and pornography was minimized compared to what you guys have because of its accessibility. It was harder for me to try to find pornography. But now, for you guys, it's easy. Everybody knows this. It's accessible. It's everywhere. For a lot of you, you carry around a little computer connected to the internet in your pocket that it's so easy. You can access pornography quicker than you can do anything else. And I'm telling you that knowing who I was as a young man, I wouldn't have been able to resist the struggle that you guys are faced with every day. And so, man, you need to be watchful. You need to watch out. You need to wake up. For most of you, you need a change of mindset. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of your flesh, which wage war against your soul." You guys need to understand that you are in a battle for your soul. And the front lines of that battle right now is with internet pornography. And at first, you know, I wasn't going to talk about this because everybody talks about it. You know, every year at this time, we talk about lust and the battle against pornography. And I thought, well, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go a different direction. But then I just couldn't. I can't get away from it. You guys realize that pornography is destroying our culture. And this isn't something that just Christians are saying. There are non-Christian foundations that are starting and very active against fighting against pornography because everybody knows it's killing us. Everybody knows that. And I used to be able to say, oh, it's killing all of our young men. But it's not just killing our young men. It's killing our young men, our old men, our young women, our old women. Our country, our culture is being destroyed through pornography. And one of the things that just blew me away was this year, if you guys, any of you came to the missions conference, we do a missions conference in the spring, one of the speakers is, he does a lot of work with the Southern Baptist Convention. There's a international branch of the Southern Baptist Convention called the International Mission Board. They send missionaries internationally. And I was talking to him about this program that they have. They have a program. Some of you need to look into this. It's called a journeyman program. It's a two-year program for college graduates who want to spend time on the mission field. So they spend 2 years. So this is typically single folks who've graduated from college, all right? Early 20s. And I was asking him about these trainings. He said the last two trainings that he'd done last year, they had about 100, give or take, in each one of those trainings. And 90% of the folks, of the applicants, were women. And I was like, what? 90% of these people that are going with the International Mission Board overseas are women? And I was so sad. And I was like, man, what is it? Why don't we have godly guys going to the nations? And he said, the problem is that most of them are disqualified because of the internet pornography. And so you guys need to realize this. Like, your minds, your souls are being attacked, and for most of you are losing this battle. It's also keeping people from hearing the gospel. That's a big deal, folks. And for a lot of you, you're real insulated. You think, well, this is just me and my struggle. No, it's affecting you. It's affecting those around you, and it's going to affect your marriage you're going to have one day. You need to realize that. It's a big deal. This is such a big deal. So you need to watch out. And the problem is that for most of us, we're not actually being ambushed. We're walking straight into an ambush we've laid ourselves. You guys aren't having a mindset of warfare. You're not being watchful. For most of you, you really do enjoy this temptation. You get a rush, a thrill from the temptation. So you get as close as you can to it as possible and then are surprised when you fall into it. You're surprised every time you fall. It's crazy. I mean, because I've seen this. I've seen this play out. In talking to folks, they're not making provisions to fight against sin. They're actually preparing the way to sin. You know, oh, I'm just going to do this Google image search for something. Oh, well, you know that can be taken a different way. You're looking for something to look at. You're intentionally getting that way. Oh, I'm going to follow these questionable hashtags on name your social media. Oh, I didn't know that it was going to, I was going to see people having sex. Yeah, you did. That's why you did it. Our hearts are deceptive. Our hearts are so deceptive. They trick us into thinking, yeah, this is going to give us pleasure. And so we're like, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go that far. But we get as close as we can and then fall right into it. What we've done is we've laid an ambush for ourselves. And what we need to do to change this is have a mindset of battle. You need to realize that you're losing a war for your soul. And you need to fight back. You need to be awake. You need to be watchful. Right? I want to read through it's on Proverbs chapter 5. In Proverbs chapter 5, we've got a lot of wisdom. And in Proverbs chapter 5, he talks about the forbidden woman. And he's talking about a prostitute. But for most of us, prostitutes aren't really a big temptation for us, not on your way to school, you know. But the same principle is applying towards pornography. And I want you to think through this. So let's look. He says this, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion. And your lips may guard knowledge." And look, he's going to talk about the temptation, the false promises that we get from sexual sin is this. "For the lips of the forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol," which is hell. "She does not ponder the ways of her life. The path of life, her ways wander, she does not know it." Listen, he's saying that her lips drip honey and her words are smooth as oil. You think, oh yeah, this is going to give me pleasure. But you know what? It doesn't, does it? It doesn't give you even immediate pleasure. Especially if you're a believer. When you look at that, when you engage in that, you're automatically filled with shame and it's followed by regret. I mean, you guys, for some of you, you just need to step back and think about it. You think, well, I'm being drawn into this. Or you know when it is that you're tempted, right? And you feel being drawn into that. You need to stop and think, you know what? This isn't going to give me satisfaction now, and it's going to give me regret later. You just need to stop and think that, because it's making false promises. Lips are dripping with honey. Words are smooth as oil. And you need to just step back and be like, no. That's not actually going to give me pleasure. And for some of you, just that wake up will keep you from it. But then look, he says this. So what should you do? He says, oh sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Listen, keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to a house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed and you say, how I hated discipline. And how my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I'm on the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. He says this, do not go near the door of her house. Keep your way far from her. Right? Like I said, most of you know where you're tempted. And so you need to be aware, be watchful, and go somewhere else. Just make little changes so that you're not making provision for your sin, but that you're preparing for success and for battle, for victory. Like for a lot of you, just little things. Some of you might be like, well, you know, I can't help it. I always look at pornography when I'm on my computer in my room doing my homework and I have to use it online. And so then, well, should we get rid of your computer? Well, if you have to have it, why don't you just move it to the kitchen? Are you going to look at porn in your family room where your parents can see the computer screen? No. Can you still get your homework done? Yeah. I guess I could do that. Yeah, you can. We're talking about a battle for your soul. Or for some people, you're like, well, it's when I'm alone in my room, laying in bed, looking at my phone. And I think, yeah. You know what you could do? You could probably charge it in the kitchen. You think you could do that? Oh, no, I couldn't. No, I need my phone. My phone is my alarm clock. I've got to have it in there. So I'll probably just continue to look at porn for the rest of my life because I'm always going to need an alarm clock. That's it. These are lies that you tell yourself, right? You think, oh, I got to have it here. Well, you're going to stab yourself with it. You're killing yourself with that. So take it, put it in somewhere else. Charge it overnight. And then the funny thing is, this is technically not an alarm clock. It has an alarm clock function to mimic this new machine that Walmart just invented. It's called an alarm clock. And you can buy it for like $9 and it's worth your soul. Do you guys realize that? I mean, because what are we doing? We're trying to get we're trying to walk into temptation. We want to. We love that rush of the temptation. But we forget that rush is always just flooded by shame and regret. Man, don't even go near the door of her house. Keep your way far from her. Whatever it is that is taking you to a place where you look at pornography, stop it. Right? And I'll say this, in the body of Christ, you have other, you're surrounded right now by other people who want to help you fight this battle. And you don't have to do it alone. And here's the deal. I'm going to go ahead and let everybody know this is something that every person in this room struggles with. Right? If you have hormones inside your body, this is going to be a struggle for you. Okay? So let's tear the walls down. Now you know that the person next to you has had the same struggle. So for you to say, hey, I'm struggling, I need help right now, that's not a sign of weakness. That's just a reality. Okay, now I would be very concerned if you have healthy sexual desires, then it's going to want to run amok with our sin, right? So it's not a sign of you being a sick pervert that you have these desires. You're just normal. And so here's what you can do. And I'm going to tell you this. The easiest thing that you can do to pull yourself out of temptation, to fight, to be awake, and be victorious, just call somebody. It's real easy. Just pick up. Hey, I just want you to know I'm struggling right now. I just need someone to talk me down. And that's it. They don't even have to say anything. They should be like, all right, man, well, I'm going to call you back tomorrow and tell me you're not an idiot. Yes, sir. Easy. It's easy. Because if you know that you're giving an account to somebody, it's so much easier to not sin. It's so much easier. You can pull yourself right out of that temptation by making a phone call, right? Keep your way far from her. Don't go near the door of her house because you don't want to be at the end of your life saying, I hated discipline. How I hated discipline. And I've led myself to utter ruin, right? Then he says this. This is what I want you to understand. He's saying that Christians need to do a better job of teaching about sex and sexuality because we need to understand that this is a good thing that should be celebrated because God made it and made it good and great and wonderful. He could have made it to where you reproduce by shaking hands, but he didn't. He gave us something in marriage that should be celebrated. And you should, so I don't want you to have a mindset, I need to stay away from messing around with my girlfriend and internet pornography because sex is bad. I want you to say, sex is so good, so I'm not going to engage in any type of sexual immorality until I'm married so that I can appreciate it the way that God intended it. Because he says this, look, and this gets a little PG-13, and I'm sorry, but it's the Bible, I'm not going to elaborate, all right? I'll just read the words. He says this, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Now he uses euphemisms, this means enjoy your wife. Should your springs be scattered abroad? Streams of water in the streets. That means should you share this with other people? No, of course not. Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Does he seem like a guy who's like, man, sex is bad, so stay away from it? No. He's saying sex is good. Be intoxicated with the wife of your youth? That sounds good and exciting, but it's reserved for your wife. And it's that easy, and it's that much more rewarding. Please, I'm begging you. And guys, save your souls right now. You're in a battle. Think about it. Be watchful. And then he says on, he said, why should you be intoxicated with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of adulteress? Why would you do that? And practically, no one thinks, oh, this is a good idea. Yeah, I want to be married one day and be able to say to my wife, you know, I love looking at pornography. No, you don't want to do that. Of course not. Why would you do that? It pales in comparison to the real thing. I mean, this is virtual. You're watching people have sex. This is gross, guys. Take a step back and say, if it was happening right here, just right here, we had a stage and I was like, hey, guys, look. I want to show people what pornography is like. So can you guys just take off all your clothes and have sex right here in front of us? You guys would think this is the most perverted place ever. I'm never going to do that. But that's real life, people. That's what's happening. That's what you're watching. And I want you to remember every time you look at a girl lustfully, I want you to look and realize, okay, she is someone's daughter. She is someone's sister. She's probably somebody's mom. Man, I mean, I have a one-year-old daughter. And I want you to think, how would Zach feel if I was watching his daughter? I want you to think that. Well, that sounds really evil and perverse. Yeah, it is. You got to think through it, guys. This is real life. Then he says this most important thing for us to remember. For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline because of his great folly. He's led astray. Man, God's watching us. You know, practically, here's the thing. He's attacking every argument you could have. Practically, this isn't enjoyable. It's really not. It gives you a brief glimpse of what pleasure would be like, and then you're filled with shame and regret. It's not satisfying in the moment, not satisfying at the end. Why would you want to do that? You should have a wife and enjoy her. It's way better. The adulteress is a bad idea. Why would you be intoxicated by that? And then on a deeper, more spiritual level, God is watching you. All of your ways are before the Lord. And he is watching, whoa, and he's watching everything you do. Know that, all right? So then that's negative. But positive, be watchful. You need to wake up, be alert, and you need to look for ways to grow. Right? So you need to avoid sin, be watchful to avoid sin, but be watchful to grow also. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Look for opportunities to grow. If it's true that we think that a good definition of godly masculinity is the glad assumption of sacrificial responsibility. The glad assumption of sacrificial responsibility, because then you can be like Jesus. And so if you want to grow in responsibility, what you should do is you should look for areas of responsibility and take them. You want to grow? You want to be responsible? Then start being responsible. Start taking on areas of growth. Look for things that you can do positively to grow as a godly man. You need to realize that what you're doing right now, everything that you do during your day is you're planting seeds of habit that you're going to reap in the future. Think about if you keep doing what you're doing right now, are you going to grow in godly maturity? That's what you need to think about. Is the way in which you're spending your time, is this a way that a godly man would spend his time? And is this going to build me up into being a godly man? I think your season of life, there's three easy areas that we waste so much. We waste time, we waste money, and we waste relationships. And you guys need to think through that. Time, money, and relationships. Those are three areas that you need to be looking forward to be proactive in growing and viewing relationships in a mature way, viewing money in a mature way, and viewing time in a mature way. Because I'll be honest with you, the amount of time I wasted as a teenager is ridiculous. The amount of money I wasted as a teenager is ridiculous. I mean, I had a job and I used money to buy these things called compact discs. Have you heard of them? It's like they're like in antique stores now. You have to have a compact disc player. I bought a ton of cassettes too. You guys remember those? I don't even know how they work. I think it's magic. And it's just a tape. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, right now you guys have all the time in the world. You have what I refer to as unrestricted free time. And then every stage of your life is going to be busier and more stressful than you are right now. You know, I got really saddened by the state of our culture when I graduated from Liberty University, LU, training champions for Christ since 1971, changing lives one degree at a time. Anyway, during finals week, I was broken. My heart was broken for this generation because the stress of a test in college was so much that they needed safe spaces. And so at Liberty and all across the country, they had these safe spaces where you could go relieve your stress. And they brought in puppy dogs and coloring books. Isn't that sad? And I think, that's not stressful. I've been through college. I went through graduate school. That's not, it's a test. This isn't, I mean, it's a test. You're putting words on a piece of paper, you know? And it's more stressful for people if they didn't actually pay attention during the rest of the semester. Self-induced stress. And I think, and we're telling people that what they need is they need to have a puppy to relieve them of their stress. And they need to have coloring books. Grown-ups, hey guys, grown-ups don't do coloring books. There's adult coloring books. That's not true. They might be called adult coloring books, but they're still for children. Because I'm telling you, pay attention to what you do with your time. Every area, every stage of your life, you're going to have less free time, less unrestricted. You're going to get married, and then you're going to have kids, and then you're going to think, man, I'd like to do something for me. And the only time that you have is to trade off, am I going to sleep or am I going to do this? I think you guys need to read books. You need to read widely, read lots of books. You need to go places. You need to experience different cultures. You need to take the gospel to hard places right now because you can. You need to learn a foreign language. Do things that you think, this is what I'd like to have in the future. Is this something you would like to do in the future? Yeah, then do it now because you have that time. I think about some of the guys here. We had three guys this semester that were spending the year with us, and they all three of them went to different places in Africa. Two of them went to West Africa, one of them went to East Africa because they could help a missionary. Well, what an awesome opportunity! Can I do that now? Well, no, I can't. If someone said, "Hey, Zach, I'd like for you to spend 4 months in West Africa," I'd say, "Well, I can't. You know, I have a mortgage, a wife, and 4 kids." And a job that I'd like to keep, you know? But you guys can do awesome stuff now to grow in maturity as men. I'll say this, don't look and say, eventually I'm going to do this. If you keep saying eventually you're going to do it, then you'll never do it. There's a guy's name is J.C. Ryle, who's a pastor. He gave a sermon to young men, and look at a couple of things he said. He's talking about seeking the Lord as a young man. He says, seek the Lord early and you'll be spared many a bitter tear. Young men, I want to save you all this sorrow if I can. Hell itself is a truth known too late. Be wise in time. What youth sows, old age must reap. Do not give the most precious season of your life to that which will not comfort you in the latter days of your life. Sow to yourselves rather in righteousness. He says that tomorrow is the devil's day, but today is God's. Satan does not care how spiritual your intentions are or how holy your resolutions if they are only determined to be done tomorrow. Think about that, guys. Your time is short. Build yourselves up now. Do things now that are going to make you into a godly man later. The next thing he says is stand firm. He says stand firm in the faith. Commands him, stand firm in the faith. And my challenge to you is you're not going to be able to stand firm in the faith unless you know God's word. You're just not going to. What's the faith? Well, you're going to learn it from Scripture. And even in Psalm 119, he asks a question we've just been talking about. He says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. And then he goes on, says, my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When you want to stand firm in the faith, you need to know God's word. And for most of you, again, look for proactive things. Like you're using your phone as an instrument of death in your life, or you're using it as a way of just stagnating. You know, you're not growing. You're spending your time, you know, just playing games or spending hours on social media when you could be doing something productive. I think each one of you should download. There's an ESV app. You can get it on your telephone. And and I'm not just saying that because I think the ESV is the best translation. I'm just saying the app is helpful because it has about a dozen different Bible reading plans on it. And in your spare time, without noticing it, I'm telling you, without noticing it, you could follow this Bible reading plan. I use one called Daily Reading Bible. And what happens is I read through the Old Testament once a year and the New Testament twice a year. And it takes 15 minutes tops. And in 15 minutes a day, well, you guys waste way more than 15 minutes. Every one of us does. You can just redeem that 15 minutes. And by the time you're my age, you'll have read through the Old Testament 20 more times and the New Testament 40 more times. Why not? Why not? And you'll be planting God's word in your heart and in your mind. Man, you should do that. Why not? Your time's running out. Use it wisely. Next, he says, act like men. This I love because this is basically we think that Paul made up this word because he took the word man and made it into a verb and then put it in the form of a command. He's just saying you need to man. Act like a man. Be a man. Man up. Whatever you want to say. This is awesome. To me, this is empowering. You know? Well, you guys need to be men. It's something that you have to do. If you want to be a godly man, you're going to have to invest in it. Listen, in 1 Corinthians 13:11, he says this. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But you got it? When I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. If you guys want to grow as men, you need to put away childish things. It's really practical, really easy. Think through this. I want to be a man. What do I want to do? Childish things. I'm putting them away. I've got three boys that live in my house that I want to make into godly men. And they're 7, 5, and 3. And when, like, if my three-year-old is crying because he got his feelings hurt, I smack him around and say, man up. You're not supposed to act like that, right? Well, no, of course not. He's a child. He's supposed to act like a child. Right? That makes sense. When you're a child, you act like a child. You think like a child. You reason like a child. That's what children do. But for some of you, you're at a stage in your life where you need to decide, I'm not a child anymore. And so what you need to do is you need to look at what's occupying your day. Think of your thoughts, your time, and what you're doing, your activities, and say, is this childish? Okay? So an easy way to do that is to take a godly man in your church or someone you look up to and say, would they be spending their time doing such and such? And if they wouldn't, then your answer is, that's childish. And then it's up to you. You can continue to live your life doing childish activities, and you'll continue to be a child. Or you can put childish things away. So if you spend all of your time playing video games in your parents' basement, on the couch eating mac and cheese, if you continue to do that, and you don't make any changes to put away childish things, next thing you know, you'll be 35 years old, playing video games all day long, sitting on your parents' couch in the basement, eating mac and cheese. And you need to decide, is this what you want? That's all I'm saying. Think about, would someone else, so a man that I respect, be doing this? If the answer is no, that's childish. And then decide, when do you want to put away childish things? Think about it, guys. It's a big deal. Because you're the future of our world. You're the future of our country. You're the future of our church. We need you. We need you to step up and be godly men. 5 particular sins common to young men. I'm just going to read them off. We don't have a lot of time. First one is pride. You guys need to know that because you're a young man, you are going to struggle with pride. You're more susceptible to pride. You know, I was joking around about beating up Eric. I think that inside every man, they really feel, I could beat up any other man and get any girl in the right situation. And it's not true, because that's pride, you know? But we have to fight that. You have to fight that. The second one is love of pleasure. We've been talking about that already. Remember, you're in a war. The passions of the flesh wage war against your soul. The third one is thoughtlessness. When I was a child, I thought like a child, spoke like a child, and reasoned like a child. We need to reason like grown-ups. You need to think through things. Think through your actions. Think through the ramifications of what you're doing. The fourth one is fear of man's opinion. This is huge, guys. This is so much for guys. We struggle with this because we think, oh, yeah, I want someone to think I'm such and such. I'm big, I'm tough, I'm strong, I'm an athlete, I'm intelligent, I'm good at whatever sport or instrument, whatever. And we're so afraid to stand up for ourselves and to stand up in the name of Christ because we're afraid, what are people going to think about us? And it's crazy because some people who look like they're the most macho leaders are actually just scared little boys because they're so afraid of letting down this persona and what these people are going to think about them. So they do everything they can do to figure out, what do they want from me? And I'm going to live that out. Scripture tells us that fear of man will prove to be a snare, but those who trust in the Lord are kept safe. And the last one is laziness. Guys, please, man, don't be lazy. And practically, no woman wants to marry a lazy man. Just say that right now. You need to develop a work ethic. You need to work hard. You need to look for responsibility and you take it. You need to use this singleness of your the singleness that you're in right now as a gift from God to help build you up into a godly man. Yeah, you need to read. You need to read all the time. Read lots of books. Grow in wisdom. You know what you need to read? You need to read the Proverbs. It's one thing that would be so helpful for you is if every day you just read one proverb. Whatever day it is, today's the second, read Proverbs chapter 2. If you do that every day, every month, you'll read through the Proverbs, grow in wisdom. And then he says, be strong. Be a man of conviction. This isn't talking about being able to lift heavy things, although that can't hurt. You know, it's interesting because the Apostle Paul says that physical discipline is of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things. So we need to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Guys, you need to understand that discipline isn't a bad word, that discipline equals freedom. Discipline is a good thing. You need to discipline yourself to become a man of God so you can be strong. You know, and I don't want to say, you know, it's interesting because in our culture we have such a perverted understanding of what manhood is. Like you want to be big, macho men. That's not manhood. Sometimes you do need to stand up for yourself and you need to say harsh words. That's what men need to do sometimes. But also, we need to realize that the last one says, let all things be done in love. You know, you can be strong and do everything in love. You want an example? Look at Jesus. I mean, Jesus was awesome. When he lived on the earth, he was a perfect picture of what a man is. Because would he stand up for himself? Absolutely. When it was a question of conviction, right? Because you guys remember, Jesus is the one that made a whip out of cords on his way to the temple, overturned the tables, and chased people out of the temple with a whip. Awesome. What a stud, right? No, Jesus is the one who said the most harsh words against the religious and political leaders of the time. I mean, you guys know he's the guy who looked at the leaders of the church and said, you guys are vipers. You're a brood of vipers, right? You guys are snakes. You're corrupting everyone. You're bringing death to everyone around you. You guys are lying because that's your native language, because you're just living like your father, who's the devil, who lies. I mean, that's ballsy, right? But then he's also the same guy surrounded by children, right? Kids love to be held by him. He says, whoa, 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 don't stop the kids from coming to me. I mean, this is Jesus. This is the same one who, when he looked over Jerusalem, started weeping because he saw their lostness. They're like sheep without a shepherd. One of his good friends dies, and we have one of the most popular verses in Scripture because it's the shortest verse. It says, Jesus wept. Why? Because his friend died. This is what it's like to embrace a godly masculinity, to be like Jesus. And my challenge to you is to apply these words. Be watchful, right? Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Know that you are right now becoming the man you're going to be. And that means for some of you, you need to change what you're doing right now. Because you don't want to reap the results of what you're doing right now. You need to change what you're doing right now and intentionally discipline yourself to become godly men, because you're not going to stumble into it. Let me pray for us and we'll be done. Gracious Father, we love you and praise you. We pray that you are exalted in all this. We pray that that you will help us in our battle against a pride and sin and lust and temptation. And I pray that you'll take these men in this room, make them into godly men, make them into godly husbands and daddies and leaders and police officers and teachers and accountants, that we would do everything for the sake of your name, for your glory, and you'll be honored and that you'll be known among the nations. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, y'all.